News with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, July the 26th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin Wett.
Good afternoon, listener. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, I hope everybody out there has been enjoying this amazing weather over the last week or so.
It has been a tad warm, has it not?
Do you think there is actually anybody out there listening to us, or is everybody gone on holiday? I was looking at the pictures on the telly of Dover at the weekend, and
I know, that was a bit of a traffic jam, wasn't it?
Looked like most of Kent had gone on holiday. Mm-hmm. So I hope there's somebody out there listening to us anyway.
Well, you never know. You never know. Cool. So what have you been up to then, Martin?
I was reading a really interesting article in the, I think it was the Kent Messenger today, about the number of startup loans that have been issued in Kent alone. Wow. Over 1,000 startup loans now since the startup loan company actually came into existence, which I think was in about 2012.
Right.
And I used to work as a consultant on that program for the Let's Do Business group, who were the...
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember them, based in Hastings.
Yeah, they're the delivery partner in Kent. And I remember thinking, the reason I got involved with it is it was just such a brilliant initiative. You know, one of the reasons I think a lot of startup businesses ultimately go to the wall is because they haven't really thought about their business in terms of a business model to go with their business idea from the outset. And the great thing about the startup loan company is they actually put you with somebody that's going to help you write your business plan. And they need to see a business plan because ultimately you want to borrow money off them.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the benefit is all yours, you know, because you've now got something robust that you can actually launch your business on the back of. So it's a fantastic initiative. And I think the average loan value is about £9,000, but it can be as high as about £25,000. So it's good to see that they've really got some traction with that in Kent at the moment. So well done, guys.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about another big plan that we've got coming up soon. But before we do that, I just want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Fruitworks, the community workspace over there in Canterbury. So a big thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. And, of course, as always on the show, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us now. We have a working telephone. Well, hopefully it's working. We're going to try it later. But you can call us on Ashford, 01233-220035, 01233-220055. No, that's wrong. 01233-220035. That's 35.
Does it sound a bit like a drill when it goes off?
No, okay. Don't start. Don't start. He's winding me up, listener. All morning, somebody next door has been drilling holes in the wall to the studio, and it's been reverberating around the studio like nothing. And I eventually tracked down the unit next to us that's doing it. And I went and asked them nicely to cease and desist, which didn't go down very well because I got a job to do, mate, and they're doing it.
Paul came back, listener, wearing a stake over his left eye. Not a pretty sight.
Absolutely. So hopefully they hold off for a while with their drilling. Otherwise, we'll have to shout.
Now, you mentioned today's sponsor, Fruitworks.
Yeah.
And Fruitworks have got quite a bit going on at the moment, haven't they?
They have,
because,
yeah.
Well, everybody knows that Fruitworks is a business that you own, but on a...
you've let the cat out of the bag.
But I was just going to say, but on a positive note...
oh, right-o, here we go. It's going to be one of those shows, guys, because there's no ladies in the studio today. We're going to have a testosterone-filled...
They've expanded, and
they have.
And to mark the occasion, I think that they're doing two brilliant things. Firstly, on Thursday night, there's a fantastic networking event called Create happening at Fruitworks.
Yep.
And there's going to be pizza, and there's wine and beer and soft drinks.
Yep.
And it's just a really nice, informal way towards the end of a working week to actually go networking.
Absolutely.
So I'm really looking forward to that, and we're actually sponsoring that evening.
You are. Supply My Business are one of the headline sponsors, and very grateful we are too.
I think we're supplying the beers. Someone else
think
is
you
getting
are.
The pizza.
Yeah. And he's supplying the beers in the full knowledge that I'm teetotal and won't drink any.
Whereas I should be getting the train.
yeah, and don't you dare ask me for a list to the station.
But I was in there last week and having a chat with Jamie, your oldest.
Yeah.
And he's done an amazing job.
He has done a fabulous job of refurbishing the whole building. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm actually meeting the lovely people from Cascade Insurance before Create kicks off. But on the night, listener, there are three fantastic speakers who are going to be talking about marketing your business in the digital age. So Amy McManus. Amy was on a couple of weeks ago.
She was on last week, actually.
Last week.
Yeah, but she's speaking there, Amy, from David AM Marketing. Mark Shaw and Daniel
Shaw
Knowlton.
Sorry. It's going to be a cracking night. So I'm sure there's still tickets. Have a look on the Create website and get yourself along. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah. And then on Friday,
yes,
there's a jelly there.
Yes. Mm. So you can actually use the space for free for a day.
Yep.
Which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? So sort of try before you buy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a thing called a jelly, which is a geeky meetup. It's where a bunch of geeks all get together and all sit in the same room and still ignore each other by playing on their laptops. That made Craig laugh.
Craig's laughing. Yeah. You can identify with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. So it's all going on down there on Thursday and Friday in Canterbury. That's the place to be. Good. Hey, listen, if you want to get in touch with us, you can. You can call us on the number I just almost got right, 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb, and please use the hashtag BBunker. That's BBunker hashtag. We have had quite a few thousand. We normally have millions, but Martin was saying, whoa, everybody's gone on holiday.
Everyone's gone to France.
Or gone to a traffic jam for France, yeah. But we have quite a few tweets, and I'm going to read some of them out, and we're going to read some emails and do some other stuff. We've had a tweet from Website Services, UK_Web Services on the Twitter. And they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, would be great to have a shout-out, please, on the show. We're looking forward to listening. Always informative, always entertaining. Thank you very much. UK Directory App. Hi, looking forward to the show. We're tuning in via our app. Blimey. Mm. Well, that's cool.
I've got to say, I tuned in via my mobile phone last week. I don't know if you saw a picture of my feet in my back garden.
I did see a picture of your feet. It traumatised me.
But it just shows you what you can do with modern technology.
With feet? Right.
No, not with my feet. I'm useless. I can't even touch my toes. But I was able to tune in to Business Bunker from my back garden on my mobile phone, which Craig next to me supplied to me recently. So
cool. And did incredible? You do that through a web browser or through an app?
I just went on the Business Bunker website,
right, okay,
and pressed the listen live button.
Yep.
And it worked on my wireless network from the house.
Yeah,
couldn't
absolutely
believe it.
Yep. You can also download the TuneIn app, and we're available as Channel Radio on the TuneIn app, so you can get that on a native app on any phone or tablet. Cool. Good. It's like having a transistor radio, isn't it?
Do you know what? That's what I was going to say. It was just like having a pocket radio.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I was very impressed with that.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Good.
I had a bit of a bit of an argument with a certain well-known local politician a couple of years ago when I was talking about launching Channel Radio. And he went, oh, it's an internet radio. It'll never take off. Never. He said, some of us were brought up using transistor radios and being able to carry a radio in your pocket. And I went, and he had a phone in front of him. And I went, what, like that? And he went, well, no, like a transistor radio. Yeah, okay, whatever. funnily enough, we just had a tweet from Jane Ollis, who's the chair of the Institute of Directors.
We were with Jane on Thursday, weren't we?
And Jane was the chair of the event which Martin made reference to at the launch of the Kent County Council fund. And she's just tweeted about the fund. New interest-free loan fund has been launched. It's called the KCC Innovation Loan Fund I3.
I3.
Mm-hmm. Not IC, I3.
BMW do a nice electric car called the I3.
They do indeed. Mm. Do you think they've overlapped the branding just so that to create confusion?
Mm.
Yeah. You could be in a car, you could be in a loan situation.
Let's not get this confused, by the way, with the startup loan company that I was talking about.
No,
this
that's
is
different.
A very separate initiative.
Yeah. So if you want to follow Jane, you can follow Jane on the Twitter at Jane_Ollis, O-L-L-I-S. So do give Jane a follow. And we've also had a tweet from Sunil at Kent Traffic Law, Sunil_KT Law. Sunil is a barrister that specialises in traffic offences, and he's a defence lawyer. He says, listening to the Business Radio Show on the Business Bunker, it's simply the very best business show. Sunil, you're a star. Thank you.
I can feel a Tina Turner song coming on.
Yeah.
I haven't heard simply that one for a while.
I thought you were going to burst into song there.
I'm not going to.
I queued you up nicely, and then you missed your cue.
That was a cracking evening, by the way, that the IOD put on last Thursday.
It was, wasn't it?
So I really enjoyed that, and gave me a lot of food for thought in terms of, you know, potentially joining that organisation, because there were some really interesting people there on the nights and cracking businesses. And it was a very, although it was a serious evening and there was some serious stuff on the agenda, it was, again, it was an evening thing. There was a glass of wine on offer and it was very convivial. So well done, Jane. Thanks for putting on a great event. And your lovely daughter, of course, who was there as well, feeding us all canapes.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's funny you should mention that, because somebody did a talk as well, launching a new show, a new business show that's coming up, if you remember.
I must have dialed out at that point, sorry.
I don't think you did, because you heckled.
Did I?
Okay. Yeah.
Just remind the listener what that was.
It was the Grow Kent Show.
Ah, yes. Yes, absolutely. Which is happening at the beginning of November.
No, let me tell you, I've got all the details. It's at the end of November, close. Mm-hmm. It's on the 30th of November. It's the Grow Kent Show, and it's taking place at the Ashford International Hotel, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, this is a brand new show. It's a brand new show to the infrastructure of Kent, and it's aimed at people that have got established businesses that want to take them to the next level. And what they've got, it's a massive new format. They've got some keynote speakers, and I can tell you who they are, the ones that are currently signed up. Currently, we have Barnaby Winter, Alison, and Barnaby's also known as the Challenger Marketeer. Alison Edgar, who's going to talk about the four key pillars of sales. Tim Lumsgombe, how to supercharge your growth. Steve Clark, who's a sales and marketing strategy expert. And the fabulous Warren Knight, who's a social sales strategist. So they're the keynote speakers. But there's also a number of workshops going on where you can actually get in depth with some of the things that need to happen. And those workshops, I'll give you a website that you can check all this out. You can opt to go to the different workshops and do different things there. There's also going to be one-to-one sessions with the speakers and the workshop and seminar leaders, where you can go and have a clinic and ask one-to-one questions and get specific answers. There's going to be an exhibition, and it's a low-key exhibition. The event itself, Grow Kent, is basically a conference with some exhibition stands, and those exhibition stands will be manned by carefully targeted companies that have something to offer the growth arena. So if you're a company that does indeed do that, you can get a stand there, and you can find out more about it by going to the website. They are also looking for someone to spot. There's also a business breakfast, and there is a sponsorship opportunity for that business breakfast.
It's going to be a cracking event, actually.
It's going to be a fabulous event. It's a brand new event. There's a lot of people behind it. Mm-hmm. And there's a big website to go with it. And that website is growkent.co.uk. Growkent.co.uk. Do go to that website. Have a look. It's cheap as chips to go. It's only £27 for a ticket to go. And we expect it to sell out very quickly.
And it's being organised by the lovely Carol Black, of course, from Best Business Events. So we know it's going to be a cracker.
Absolutely.
She puts on all the B2Bs on behalf of the Chamber.
Basically, she does all the events in Kent, really.
She pretty much does all the business events.
Pretty much all of them. So, all the good ones, anyway.
It's going to be a cracking one. And actually, while we're on the subject of Best Business Events, if you are an exhibitor, and I think the final B2B, this is where I was getting muddled, so apologies for that. It's the final East Kent B2B on the 1st of November. It's going to be held in Folkestone, down at the Lees, I think, in Folkestone. Is it Lees Cliff Hall?
Mm. Yeah.
She's actually putting on, before that, how to get the best from attending trade shows and exhibitions, free training event, and it's going to be held on the 13th of September in Westmorling. I think that's probably their offices in Westmorling, isn't it? Is that where they're based, Paul, I think?
Yeah.
Best Business Events?
Yeah, Kings Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically the A to Z of how to get the most out of exhibiting at any kind of exhibition, ultimately, and how to maximise your return from that. And I think we're actually getting together with Linda Garcia from Aluxi and Gemma from Orchard Employment Law, and I think David Takara as well. And I think we're going to be having a stand at that event on the 1st of November. So we'll definitely be popping along to that that training event in September beforehand.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Play some tunage.
We're going to play some cheeky, cheesy tunage. And when we come back, we're going to speak to our first guest on the telephone, Mr. Barry Brophy. Does that sound like a plan? Yeah?
Yes.
Let's go for it.
RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggy yak!
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust car with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight, or you don't go out Friday night.
Don't talk back.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat. Yaggy yak!
Don't talk back.
Hopefully we got Barry on the phone. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, I'm so sorry about playing that Yakety Yak, Don't Come Back, but I just had to play it.
Well, I thought it was an ad at first, and then I realised that was the piece of music you were playing, but it's actually quite appropriate because the Don't Talk Back bit, but anyway, we can get on to that, but presentations are often completely uninteractive, so I think that's a good choice.
Absolutely. Barry, let me introduce you to the listeners. You have been on the Business Bunker in the past, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will remember you because you were a brilliant guest last time you were on. Barry Brophy is at the University College Dublin, and you were actually working the School of Engineering, do you not?
I do, yeah.
But you've got an unusual specialisation.
Yeah, it's called technical communication, but really it focuses exclusively really on presentations.
Right.
I do college-wide courses, so although we started in engineering, we get psychologists and vets and everyone doing our courses. A lot of technical people, but it is college-wide.
Absolutely. So you're specializing in presentations, and yes. you wrote a book some while ago on it, and I believe you've got another book coming out shortly?
Yep. Well, we're sort of building up to it. We're trying to get a bit of traction. We've developed a domain called awfulpresentations.com.
Oh, I've sat through some of those, yeah. I can tell you.
And I think it's really to get people thinking with the listener side of their brain rather than the speaker side of their brain, because we sit through many more presentations than we actually give, and yet somehow the lessons don't seem to work their way to the speakers. So it's to get people thinking, why are so many presents so awful? And they are. But the key thing is unnecessarily awful. Everyone can speak. Everyone can have a chat with a friend. Everyone can go to the pub and talk for hours. We don't actually have to learn anything new about speaking, and it's getting people to realize how to structure talk so that we can use those skills.
Absolutely. I mean, from your point of view, Barry, what are the big turnoffs? What are the big mistakes that people that aren't so used to, or even some people that are used to speaking in public, still make? I mean, as you know, you may recall from the last time we talked, many years ago, I actually worked as a motivational speaker myself.
Yes.
And therefore, I spent an awful long time sitting through presentations that made me cringe. But from your point of view, what are the big mistakes?
I think that the number one is people don't really think, what am I trying to achieve with this? They don't see it. Really, you've got to say, this is a solution to a problem that the audience has. It's not me. Like, people will say, can you give us a 20-minute talk on your company or on your topic? And they say, oh, that's quite short. How will I squeeze everything in? It's not the way to think about it. Think, what do those people want? Like, one very good story on this was a friend of mine. When our first day, she started pharmacy in Trinity College. I don't know if you've been to Trinity College. Many visitors have to Ireland, but it's quite a confusing place. You get lost quite easily.
Right.
She was lost, and she stopped this man and asked him for directions. And it turned out the guy was a guy called Brendan Kennelly, who was quite a famous Dublin poet.
Right.
And after she was gone, my God, I stopped this guy, and he was very nice, as it turned out. But the point is, you know, if you ask Brendan Kennelly to give a 20-minute or a 50-minute or a 40-minute talk on his many books of poetry, on his work in the English department in Trinity, he might say, oh, I'll try to squeeze that into 30, 40 minutes. But this particular person on this particular day just wanted to know where Lecture Theatre 3.2.1 was.
Right.
And he was quite happy just to give her that piece of information. So just think, be ruthless. Like, say to this to yourself, what does this audience really need? What can I help them to do today? Like a doctor helping a patient.
Absolutely.
And all the knowledge that doctor has, that person just wants to know, what can you do for me from all that knowledge? And a doctor doesn't give you a PowerPoint presentation. They give you 5 minutes, possibly less, and they tell you how to make yourself better.
I was just going to...
One other thing on that, crucially, is they also let you ask questions, which is, goes back to your yakety-yak point.
Absolutely.
Interaction. There's too little interaction in most presentations.
Absolutely. I'm glad you made reference to PowerPoint there as well, because there's nothing worse for me than somebody putting up a PowerPoint presentation and then reading it to me. I just go, what, you know, what is the point?
It amazes me, Paul, also.
This is Martin, by the way, Barry.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, Barry. Hi. Nice to have you on. I'm just co-hosting the show with Paul today, but it amazes me, Barry, how often people turn up to a PowerPoint presentation. Literally, they turn up to the lectern and they haven't even bothered to check whether it's switched on, if the projector's working. They just expect to be able to hit a button and the thing works.
I know.
And it never does.
Well, and the other thing about that is people will spend weeks or months doing up a document, be it a business plan or a, you know, submission for funding or whatever it is, and they'll get people to proof it for them, and they'll send it around and get feedback, and they might even get a PR company to come in and do some work on it. And then they'll say something like, I'll get into Brussels the day before the meeting. I'll do the presentation in the hotel room, or I'll do it on the plane. They don't see a presentation as something you have to construct. Mm. Like, this is a radio program. It has to be produced. It has to be, content has to be sourced. Research has to be done.
I think he's hit the nail on the head with our problem there, Martin.
Sorry. But you know what I mean? It's not just something that is a finished product of itself. So just because you can stand up and speak doesn't mean you're giving a quality presentation.
Sure.
To the audience, what bit of research have you done for them? How have you pulled together some interesting statistics to give them a punchy conclusion, if you like, about the facts, about the details? It's a bit like a lawyer. I mean, a lawyer knows the laws, obviously, and knows a lot of stuff that you wouldn't possibly know for yourself or understand. So you meet them and they say, what you need to do is move the boundary wall of your garden by 3 feet or your neighbor will sue you and he'll win. And you say, thanks very much. How much do I owe you? You're taking all of the stuff that people in the audience can easily see through for themselves and giving them a punchy conclusion. So yeah, it's amazing. People just think, oh, I'll just pull that together, or I'll just stand up to speak and it'll be fine. And we're actually, they've not created any original content. They've not done anything useful at all.
It's very difficult to hold somebody's attention, I think, for more than, you know, I don't know, I mean, you probably know better than me, Barry, but for more than 5 minutes, for example. You know, people start getting fidgety. You know, in order to captivate somebody for that length of time, beyond that, you've got to be delivering something quite special, haven't you? And that, there's a skill in that. You know, that you can't just stand up and do that. I mean, even the, you know, the likes of people like Steve Jobs and people like that, you know, they had everything planned out to a T in terms of their props and what they were going to demo on the, you know, the latest iMac or whatever it was. So, you know, it looks like you've just stood up and delivered it, you know, just got out of your car and walked on the stage. But, of course, you haven't. It doesn't work like that.
And I think the answer to that lies in I talk about this thing I refer to it as the communication chain. A way of thinking of it is like press the red button on your controller if you want to know more about blue whales or about this documentary, that you don't have to do everything on the day, in your hour, in your 40 minutes, in your 20 minutes. You just have to get people to want to press the red button, to want to come up to you afterwards, to chat, to want to, you know, that if you send them an email after the presentation, instead of just ditching it, they'll actually read it. Or you'll set up a further presentation or a further meeting. So it's just the first stage or an early stage in that communication chain. And, I mean, it's a cliche, but less is more. Why not just give them something very good, something very useful, something very enjoyable, and then work out what you want them to do next. So if it's a business proposal, or if it's that you know you get a further follow-up meeting, or you get a meeting with senior management, or you get to send on a submission, and that submission will get read rather than dumped, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a question for you, Barry. Do you think we are all cut out for delivering presentations, you know, whether it be, you know, public speaking or presentations in meetings? Do you think we've all ultimately got it in us to do that, or are some of us better equipped on a kind of, I don't know, a personality level to deliver it than other people?
Well, that is an interesting question. I was going to give you a knee-jerk reaction to that, but can I just ask you first, what do you see a particular type that you say is more suited, or was it just a very open-ended?
Well, if I think about myself personally, it's not something I particularly enjoy.
Right.
Not necessarily because I'm nervous on the day, but I think I'm always very critical of other people when I go to their presentations.
Yeah.
And I know how difficult it is to really capture someone's attention, and therefore, you know, I guess I'm conscious of that and being able to actually deliver that value add on the day.
Yeah, I suspect you're probably quite good at it, though, for those very reasons. Mm. I mean, if you're talking about a 5-minute limit on people's attention, you are asking a lot of questions of yourself, and you are being very demanding about what you're going to impose on people. So that kind of level of self-consciousness is actually quite healthy, really. My answer to the question was going to be, I think, yes, everyone can do it. I think there's a belief that it suits a more extroverted type of person, somebody who enjoys talking, somebody who's funny and good at telling stories. Sometimes that can be true. Sometimes that can be dangerous. If you're complacent, if you're long-winded, if you're too comfortable with it, sometimes you can be, you know, indulgent and not focused. I go back to conversations. Some people are more chatty than other people. But, you know, if you want sort of, I don't know, your computer fixed and you go to somebody and you ask them some questions and they give you the answers that you want, you will be spellbound by what they tell you. Yep. You will be saying, you know, you'll say to them, thanks for your help. Or if you go to a doctor, some doctors are extroverted, some are introverted, some are quiet. But you're more interested in what they can do for you. And everyone can communicate. So I do believe, I have seen some fantastic examples of people who you would say, you know, surely he's not a good presenter, or he's too shy, or he's too awkward in company. And because they plan it so well and they ask questions about what they're doing, they're actually brilliant. So I do think anyone can do it, honestly, yeah.
Absolutely. And vice versa as well, Barry. I've seen people that are very polished in terms of being able to speak and speak eloquently and all the rest of it. But I've seen them deliver something without engaging the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And they seem completely oblivious to the fact that the audience aren't listening to them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I think... I'll give you a good example of that. Actually, I interviewed for a book I was writing before. Well, it was something. It was a set of interviews that will lead up to a book eventually. But I interviewed Oz Clark. You know Oz Clark.
He's a
wine writer.
Yeah.
He's a great character. He's a brilliant communicator. He's a real extrovert. He's full of beans, force of nature. But he said to me that he often gets asked to give lectures, talks on wine and stuff. And he says, I don't really want to give a lecture. I think that'd be a bit boring. Mm. Now, I think. I don't personally. I think you give a very interesting lecture. But he says to people, do a wine tasting. And they say, well, that doesn't really suit our, you know, our lecture theater or whatever. And he says, well, I'm not really that interested, to be honest. So he's all the time, even though he's a rabid extrovert, he's all the time thinking, what are you doing in the audience? You know, if you're not tasting this wine, thinking about it, talking about it, you're not really getting very much from this talk. You know, sure. You have to be doing something. So he's all the time thinking about his audience. Mm. So I agree. Sometimes you get a very extroverted speaker who isn't mindful of what the audience is doing.
Absolutely.
If you get both together, it's brilliant in the case of Oz Clark.
Mm. Absolutely. Barry, it's a fascinating subject. Mm. We could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time.
Okay.
Could you give us a shout for, one, your website, and two, the title of both your book that's available, and if you want to, your forthcoming book and where we can obtain those?
Okay. The book I have out at the moment for, as you said, a good few years is The Natural Presenter. You'll find it through Google or whatever, through my own website. If you just look up barrybrophy.com or Google me, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y dot Brophy, B-R-O-P-H-Y, at UCD.ie. I'm in UCD, so you'll catch me quite easily through Google. But the new website is awfulpresentations.com. You might get a message saying, is this site secure? Because it is that new. It's just finding its feet. But I'm interested in submissions from anybody who has good stories or good examples of bad slides, because we're going to use them to put together a stream of posts over the next couple of months. So somewhere in the title, the book will have awful presentations with something a little bit more positive at the end. But that's the site at the moment.
Fantastic. Barry, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. As always, a pleasure to hear from you. We wish you a great day for the rest of Tuesday and a great rest of the week. And we'll talk to you again soon, huh?
Great stuff. Thanks, Paul.
Thank All right, Barry. Thanks ever so much. Barry. Cheers right. now.
Cheers.
So that was Mr. Barry Brophy from University College Dublin on awful presentations.
That'll be really interesting to get that. When he's put that presentation together with those live examples, it'd be really interesting to get that on the Business Bunker website, I think.
Absolutely.
There's bound
yeah.
to be some very yeah. funny stuff in that. But some obvious stuff as well, mistakes that we all make.
Yeah, absolutely. Couple of things to tell you about. The fabulous Mr. Richard Torball of Richard Torball Photography has a quick fire photography event taking place on August the 16th at the Grain Store in Faversham. You can find out more about it by following Richard on the Twitter, and his Twitter handle is rtorballphoto. Let me spell that for you. That's rtorballphoto, rtorballphoto. Give Richard a follow. It's a quickfire photography event, and Richard specialises in headshots. No, he's not a special forces sniper. He's a photographer.
That was Amy last week.
That was Amy last week, yeah, yeah. He's a photographer that specialises entirely in corporate headshots. So do check that out. It's really worth a check.
I'm going to give a shout out for Base Point Chatham. Tomorrow morning they're holding their, I think their monthly sort of brunch networking meeting, and the lovely Gemma Fairclough Haynes is actually talking about
she is indeed
employment law tomorrow. So that's at 11 o'clock and it's down at the Chatham Dockyard.
Yeah, Base Point Centre at the Chatham Dockyard.
Yes, yeah. So I hope to see you guys there.
And that's Gemma Fairhay, isn't it, of Orchard Law?
That's her Twitter, yeah.
Yeah. Her Twitter handle, funnily enough, she's just tweeted as well. Her Twitter handle is Gemma Fairhay.
Yeah.
Gemma with a J. J-E-M-M-A-F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. Gemma Fairhay.
Just putting my finishing touches to the presentation, she says. So great. Cool. And Gemma, I hope you were listening to that last guest we had on.
Yeah,
we shall be critiquing you tomorrow.
Oh, Martin's in one of those moods. He's being very, very critical today, people.
Not at yeah. all.
Do you know what? We're going to speak to our next guest, though. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to somebody sensible. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Mr. Craig Higgins. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
Yeah, very well.
And Craig, you're from Tech Consult, are you not?
Tech Consultants, yes.
Tech Consultant. Do you know, I keep getting that wrong. And I don't know why, I got it stuck in my head. When I first started tweeting out that you were coming on the show, I started to look for your Twitter handle, and I just got it in my head it was wrong, and it didn't matter how many times I looked it up. Every time I typed it the wrong way and had to start again.
You know what it is, Paul?
It's my age.
No, you've got a mental block. You keep thinking it's tax consultant.
Yeah, that's what it is. Do you know why? I've got a tax bill. It's the end of July, isn't it? And my tax account is due, and I keep thinking, I'm not paying that.
That's what it is. Yeah. So anything with the word tax in it, you've blocked it
out. He hasn't got the word tax in it. It's tech. So, Craig, tell us about it.
There's a very good reason why I haven't got the word tax.
Yeah. Surprisingly.
I am 100% human. Yes.
So tell us what you do.
Well, in a nutshell, what I do is effectively help businesses, mainly SMEs, smaller businesses looking to grow, to take advantage of business technologies. A lot of it comes from my background in telecoms. I work with companies to help rebuild and change their mobile infrastructure, their telephony, their broadband supplies, but also help them with their CRM systems, customer relationship management, but also get to grips with various other technologies that can help them run their businesses smoother and make sure they get louder out in the marketplace.
Interestingly, because this show, as Barry identified, isn't just thrown together, it's produced within an inch of its life. Of course, we plan to have you on as a telecom specialist on the day that Ofcom made their announcement, which they did this morning, which was to do nothing, as Ofcom normally do. So you're talking about
BT here.
Sorry?
You're talking about BT and not stripping them of their
broadband. And not breaking up BT, which was what everybody else wanted to happen, was to have Openreach broken up. But Ofcom bottled it again and decided not to, and can't see what's wrong with having one company with a total monopoly on everything and being 20 years behind the curve. But anyway, that's nothing to do with Craig. That was my views, not his. So tell us a little bit about you have a background in telecoms.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that. Was that with BT or?
No.
Thank goodness for that.
The majority of my background was actually in mobile.
Okay.
I started out about what feels like a millennia ago, but more was about 13 years ago.
Okay.
With initially a group of smaller dealers over in Sevenoaks.
Right.
So I've been dealing with and working with kind of Kent and South East based businesses for well over a decade.
Okay.
But as time progressed, I started to get more involved and work with other companies and really do something and try and do something a bit different. But it's an interesting one that you bring up, BT, because telecoms as general is, and especially mobile, is a constantly evolving business.
Sure.
Everything's changing at a rapid rate. Mm. Someone asked me, how do you cope with it? And I just simply turned around and said, well, everything changes except, nothing changes except everything.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of big companies, and this is what really drove me to start up on my own, was for a rapidly moving rapidly moving technologies. So many big guys stay still and do the same thing they were doing 15, 20 years ago.
Yep.
And I think we know that with BT, don't we?
Now, you're absolutely right, Craig. And that sentiment goes across a number of industries, not just not just technology. I've been having an interesting conversation with some solicitors just recently who just don't seem to understand why a customer would get upset about their billing procedures, and you know they just don't get it, and that's because 100 years ago that's how they did it, and they still do it that way. Anyway, but
I think the big guys really struggle with that as well, don't they? I mean, we won't name names, but it seems to me the bigger they get, the more they struggle with basic customer service.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can vouch for Craig's services because I'd been with a big provider, and ultimately everything gets routed through the big infrastructure providers.
Yeah. Mm.
But on a day-to-day customer service level, having been with a big provider direct, the last thing I wanted to do was have to deal with a big provider direct again.
Yeah.
And so when I needed a new mobile phone, I went to Craig and I said, Craig, this is how much I want to spend. This is the functionality I need to have. I want a new phone, but I don't need one every year. Go out and find me a contract. And that's exactly what he did.
Okay.
So, and he's written us a really useful blog, actually, on this whole subject of how to find the best mobile deal for your requirements, which I think you've posted on
We've carried the blog as well, because it is, as you quite rightly say, a very informative and useful blog. Is the mobile telephony arena your major technical focus, or do you cover a range of things?
I cover a range of things. The idea was to always cover a large range of things. When it comes down to it, mobile will always be my passion, because that's where I started out.
Sure.
And it tends to be where the most exciting bits and pieces tend to be. That's not exclusive. There's lots of lovely new technology when it comes to VoIP telephony and hosted telephony and all those exciting stuff.
I've got one of those.
Oh, yes.
And I just used it for the first time. Wasn't bad, was it? Considering I was calling Dublin, I thought the line was quite clear for a cloud-based telephone system.
Oh, yes.
That was good. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised.
But there's so many people out there who still resist the urge.
I know.
They'd still use carrier pigeons if they could.
Because I've just acquired one of these, I have a bit of a...
I won't hold it against you.
But I kind of know how it works and what it does. Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have bought it. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about cloud-based telephony? Because as you quite rightly intimated just there, a lot of people just haven't got it yet.
You're right. I think a lot of it is misinformation coming from larger players.
Yeah.
And there's still a bit of fear about moving over to what's essentially a cloud-based operation. Still, no, I'm not sending anything to the cloud. But the truth be told is it gives so much more flexibility to businesses and to so many different industries as well. Because as soon as you start thinking about cloud and VoIP telephony, you could have your colleagues in the middle of middle of nowhere connected directly to your office in the middle of somewhere without having to really invest that much money.
Absolutely.
And with the whole systems, the fact that it's all maintained by somebody else other than you, you're not paying maintenance contracts, you're not having to pay large amounts of money to have quite expensive phone systems installed into your offices. It will grow and contract and move exactly how you want it to. It's just getting the message out there.
Absolutely. I mean, the flexibility of something like that is unbelievable, especially for small businesses.
Especially.
We've got one telephone here in the studio, and you just heard an interview on it with Barry from Dublin. But if that phone rings and I'm not here, guess what? It rings at my house. It rings at Mike's house, the technical guy. It rings at Kevin's house, the managing director. And we've only got one phone, but you can pick it up anywhere in the world. It's unbelievable. It really is just so useful.
And it's completely scalable, I guess. You know, as your business grows, you don't have to worry about upgrading this and upgrading that. It's just there on demand.
It's just there. Traditionally, it always used to be as soon as your business got to a certain point, you'd have to reinvest in an even bigger phone system.
Yeah.
But when you have such a great deal of flexibility, it's fantastic. And there's no real massive investments. It'll grow to what you need.
Of course, this all assumes you've got a decent internet connection.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boils down to. Yeah. We maybe,
and that's the concerning thing, isn't it? As usage of mobiles and VoIP and everything else grows, is the infrastructure actually keeping pace with it? And what's your view on that, Craig?
I think Openreach, who look after the infrastructure, have got a way to go. And this is something else that I really do get quite passionate about. Openreach really need to start getting back together and roll out fibre and decent internet and decent fibre, decent data connections to bigger areas. My office is in Maidstone High Street. We still haven't got fibre.
No.
And that is the county town, and we still haven't got fibre in the High Street. So
we shouldn't really be worrying about megabits per second anymore, should we? Surely those days should be gone.
I wish I had megabits per second.
Yeah, exactly.
My BT broadband at home was 0.8. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And my office is in Maidstone High Street as well.
In this day and age, that shouldn't really be a concern anymore, should it? I mean, it should just be there. The pipe should be bigger.
The pipe should be there. Admittedly, when it comes to a lot of cloud-based operations, you do need a good internet connection to be able to use them properly. But there shouldn't be an issue with just a basic provision of internet to the masses. And I'd probably say to any listeners out there who are really struggling with getting decent broadband to their business, firstly, have a chat to me. Obviously, need this plug there. But by all means, go on to the Openreach website because you can push them and push them and push them. There is a page, there is an element on the Openreach website which will allow you to inquire and push for them to put a better connection into your postcode. So the more noise you make, the more inclined they are to do something.
One of the problems, one of the many problems, me and BT don't get on. You might have gathered this. I can tell you a horrendous story about what BT did to me, but I won't go over it again because it just makes the tick come back. But one of my big fundamental problems with BT and the government who are pushing the rollout is that BT are hitting their targets in a non-usable way. And what I mean by that is they're delivering fibre to the cabinet, okay, and they go, right, so we delivered fibre to the cabinet all over Tenterton, all over Cranbrook, all over here. You can't order a fibre broadband because the last few yards to your house, they don't do.
No.
Yeah, but they hit the target by getting it to the cabinet,
yep.
And then they move on. That's outrageous because it is completely unusable. It's of no benefit to anyone, but everyone walks, all the politicians go, oh, 90% of the targets have been hit. Ugh, so what? It doesn't work. I mean, what I've had to do, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, I threw out my fixed broadband and I went for a WiMAX system.
Yeah.
And it works fine for me.
I'm just wondering, with something as important as this, because, you know, we talk about how airport expansion is critical to the future growth of the economy, etc. surely broadband
is more crucial.
I would have thought so, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, it is.
And
of course
therefore,
it is.
Why haven't the government woken up to that fact and adopted a licence fee approach as they have with the BBC, for example? Hmm. Why isn't there something that the government can do at central level to say, right, every household in the UK will automatically be subscribed to this new service, and with that new service will come a level of service that everybody can actually count on day to day.
Well, the problem is you've got a private company with a monopoly, and that's just not ever going to get you anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Surely the government should just knock that model on its head, because on a commercial level, doing what's best for a business is completely different, as we all know, to doing what's best for the consumer.
But the interesting thing is once again the market has stepped in where the big players and the government have failed, and now there are alternatives. I use VFast around here, which is a WiMAX provider.
Yep.
They provide a fabulous service to me.
So what is that? Is that a satellite-based system?
No. It's a microwave, I guess, isn't it?
It's a microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to get 0.8 from a fixed line BT. I get 29 meg, and I'm as far away from the repeater in VFast. I live in Tenterton. The nearest VFast repeater to me is in Lenham, 14 miles away. So I'm right at the end, and I still get 29 megabytes, and it's cheaper than my BT broadband cost.
So why isn't the government looking at that model and saying, right, that's what we now need?
Yeah, but I don't want the government to look at it. I don't want a government anywhere near it. The government are useless at doing anything, and I don't want them to do anything personally. I want them to liberalise the market and let other players into it. But I want to get back to talking to Craig about what Craig does, because we can't fix the whole country's infrastructure problems.
We could try, Paul.
We could have a go, but yeah. So I want to come back to your passion, mobile phones, and all of us here are sat here with our smartphones and all the rest of it.
Yes.
I actually have a drawer full of mobile phones, and I actually found a Nokia 3310 in one of my drawers the other day. Apparently they're a collector's item now.
They are.
Yeah. But I want to talk about, from a business point of view, mobile phones, and Martin made reference to this, and it fascinated me in talking to you. A lot of very small businesses and startup businesses, when they go to get a company mobile phone, they tend to go about it in the same process they got their personal mobile phone, which is to walk into a mobile phone shop and buy one that looks snazzy.
Yeah, totally. It's a very strange thing, especially for small businesses. And this is what I've alluded to in a blog I wrote for Martin, for Supply My Business, and the one you've been very kindly talking about as well on Twitter. Thank you for the testimonial, by the way, Martin. The brown envelope will be coming to you. Small businesses will tend to go to the high street providers, and they will go into the high street, and they will, as you say, they'll look for the snazziest smartphone on the marketplace. Mm. Which is all well and good. Mm. They're business owners now. They're allowed to do that. But what has become blurred is the lines between price and value.
Yeah.
And there's not a great amount of value anymore on the high street, or what I would consider value. Mm. For instance, if you take one of the top-end smartphones, your Samsungs, your Apples, there may well be a fantastic headline offer. Mm. On how much it is per month, but the true value of it may be minuscule. The way that I've looked at it, and the way that I explain it to people, is almost you have to split the tariff component and the phone component completely down the middle and look at them as two totally different things. Because I've seen some horrendous offers, headline offers on the high street, which, from a value point of view, are absolutely abysmal.
Can you give us an example of what you mean by that? Yeah. I mean, are you talking about the type of thing that says you can have an iPhone 7 for 100 quid for 49 quid a month? Is that the kind of deals you're talking
about? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
For the big one at the moment is the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge.
Yeah.
Headline, it's flagship handset. A lot of the high street providers now offering that for £49 a month. Mm. But if you break down into the tariff sections, It's unlimited minutes, unlimited texts. That's par for the course. Just ignore that now. Mm. The big key battleground is the data. Mm. And you'll look at that £49 a month tariff, and it'll have 1 gig, 2 gig. Mm. On average, the average smartphone user in the UK at the moment will use between 3 and 4 gigabytes per month.
Right.
If not more. Mm. So you're instantly going in thinking, wow, I'm getting a brand new handset for £49 a month. But you're going to be spending more a month with the additional data you're going to be using. Yep. So where is that value?
Right.
Whereas the alternative could be going to another network who may well not appear so readily. They may be charging £35 a month. Mm. You may have to pay £100 up front for the handset. Mm. But it's going to give you 6-8 gigabytes of data per month.
And it stops you paying £600 for a £400 phone. By the time you strip out what you're actually paying for in terms of bandwidth and calls.
Well, I was going to ask, Craig, because in the first example, I was guilty of doing that, you know, going and getting deals where you get a free handset and, you know, I was doing that for ages. And eventually I went, hold on a minute. Now, I'm not saying that I've cracked this because I've probably done completely the opposite and still got it wrong.
Yeah.
The last time I did it, I just went and bought the handset I wanted. I just bought a handset.
Yeah.
And then I went and found a tariff that I wanted to apply to that handset.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's a better way of doing it or not. I mean, because the handset cost me a fortune. But, you know, I mean, I just work that out on the basis of if I take yours, you know, I pay £100 for an iPhone 6 and then a tariff of £49 a month for 2 years or 3 years. And I just add that up and went,
yeah.
But if I pay £600 for the phone and get a tariff of 12, it's cheaper and I still own the phone.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the ideal way of doing it. Mm. The reality is that especially for business owners and a lot of people, they're just not in a position where they can go and source and buy the handset outright and then pick a tariff, which is considerably lower. Mm. It does work out cheaper.
Right.
And there's a few companies out there now who have got savvy to that.
Right.
And there's one company, they're called Unshackled. Mm. And they are, effectively there are a couple of guys who were quite high in Phones for You before they folded. Mm. And their whole business model now is based around simply selling consumers a payment scheme for their handset over 2 years and then a SIM-only much better value tariff. Mm. And in some cases, the difference in a comparable contract is £300-400 over the course of 2 years.
Cool. But so also, I think there's a huge element of people just need to get over what mobile phone they use. I mean, really, how important is it? I mean, I have Craig sourced me a Samsung. Is it an A?
It's an A3.
A3, right, okay.
Cool, Martin, that's rubbish, mate. I got an iPhone 6. Mine's much better than yours. It's bigger.
Exactly. But actually, mine was free. I've got unlimited. I've got unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and I've got 3 gig of data, and it costs me £20 a month.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Come on, people, get over this obsession with this status symbol of a mobile phone.
Well, a lot of that is back to what Craig first said, though, is these deals, isn't it? The deals entice you in. You know, Samsung or Apple introduce a new model phone, everybody goes, and then the big groups come out and go, you can have one of those for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As long as you sign up to this contract. And then everybody falls for it because they all get very excited about having the very latest phone. And there they go. It's a fascinating subject. We could talk about it forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. So, Craig, if people want to find out more and get in touch with you and get your expertise, because at the end of the day, we want people to talk to you and find out what actual options there are that suit them better.
No problem.
So how can they get hold of you and how can they talk to you?
Well, best way at the moment is to get hold of me on social media.
Right.
We have got a website, www.techsultant.co.uk. But get hold of us via social media. We have got the Facebook page, TechSultant UK.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Twitter, at TechSultant. And they're the best place to get hold of us at the moment.
So follow Craig on the Twitter, look at their Facebook page, go to his website, make contact with him, and ask him for your help. That's the best way of doing this.
Speak to him. Yeah. What have you got to lose?
Exactly.
I have a number if you want it.
Yeah, go on, shout it out.
Yep, the best number, 01634-565-232.
Nice one. Craig, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're up to that time where we've got the mid-show break now, so we're going to have a little bit of a break, and then we'll be back to talk to our next guest.